Welcome everybody to Locked On Knicks. I'm your host, James Marcita, aka Def Jam Gundy. You may notice I'm doing the introduction with a little bit of a different cadence than I normally would. You may notice that the music is a little bit different than it normally would be, and that is because we have gotten some breaking news. The Knicks have announced the hire of their new head coach, the future Hall of Famer, the future 10-time champion, David Fizdale. I'm joined today for episode 299 by the great Joe Flynn of Posting and Toasting, and we are going to talk all about the David Fizdale hiring and give you some quick initial impressions on what it means that the Knicks have decided to make this momentous decision. We're also going to talk about whether or not the Knicks should be interested in Kawhi Leonard. We were originally going to give report card grades for Billy Hernan Gomez and Ron Baker in this episode, but we didn't have time for that because of the late breaking news. We will get to that in our next episode. Without any further ado, let's bring in Joe Flynn. Let's talk about David Fizdale and then Kawhi Leonard. Let's start the show. Hit it, Mark.
Yes.
David Fizdale, how do you feel? How do you feel, Joe? Instant temperature check.
Not bad, which is good.
Yeah. So was he not your first choice?
No, Bud would have been my first choice. I feel like one of the reasons they're moving on from Bud was that it's obvious like he's going to Milwaukee, so...
That's interesting. Do you think that Milwaukee has a better situation than the Knicks?
Well, yeah, because Giannis is more of a complete player, and it's like the same age as Kristaps because of he got drafted younger. Or not the same age. He's close to the same age. He's like right around that age. And Chris Middleton, they got some bad contracts, and honestly, who would want to live in Milwaukee?
Right.
I mean, there's that. But...
But yeah, I guess Giannis was 23 this season, so he'll be 24 in the upcoming season.
That's quite young for how good he is. And, you know, Kristaps is, I hate to say it, but, you know, he's injured, so.
Yeah. Aww. This is going to be like a semi-positive episode, and then I immediately steered it into the gutter.
Yeah. You asked why Milwaukee would be better. I just feel like... If Bud signs in Milwaukee and they had like a reasonable idea that he was going to, then, you know, this is probably the second best choice. If the Bucks like screw the pooch and sign someone weird, then
yeah. Gun to your head, do you re-up on Jabari Parker?
God no, probably not. Not for the money he's gonna. It looks like he needs to do kind of a make good contract.
Yeah, I mean, he wants a max.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So you're not a believer now that he had like one really good defensive quarter in the playoffs? People were like, I've never seen anything like that from him before. It's like, yeah, well. And you talk about ACLs.
Yeah, he's ripped a few.
He's ripped
ACLs. I've ripped a few.
He ripped them his way. Yeah. All right, let's get back to Bud. I mean, Bud versus Fizdale. I mean, as far as Fizdale goes, I pretty much said this on yesterday's pod. Not my first choice, but like clearly in the upper tier of coaches. I think he has a chance to be a great coach. He hasn't shown me anything from like a tactician's standpoint that concerns me. I'm not intimately familiar with like all the sets he ran on offense and defense, but I know, you know, he pushed them to modernize their offense. I know he's super well respected by everyone around the league, which is not something you can say for all of the Knicks coach and candidates. And And I mean, it's not, I think it's definitively not like an old school Knicks-y move.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless they did it because they thought LeBron James was going to sign with them.
Stop it, Joe. Stop it.
I know. I'm just having some fun.
Yes, but. Of course. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Mark Jackson would be the nightmare scenario. I don't want to keep harping on him, but what part of you, like, how much of you thought that he was still possibly in play?
I have to say I was a little bit worried when the Kevin Durant's agent or whatever the hell, like Kevin Durant's business partner.
Right.
Like, oh, no. That sounds like such a Knicks thing.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, Kevin Durant's business partner wants him to.
Old school Knicks, that would be like, all right, well, that's it. Forget it.
I mean,
with these guys, I wasn't expecting that to happen. But, I mean, with the history that this team has, obviously, there was a part of me. I was like, I would be shocked if they hired him. But I would say, like, 10 to 15% of me was like worried about it. So
yeah.
This is good. This is definitively good. I think.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think anyone, and this is one of those, even like, again, yeah, Fizdale wasn't everyone's first choice, but he was right around everyone's top two or three. So
I think
Mark Jackson folks were
he unites both sides of the aisle. Really?
Yep.
Fizdale. And I like that it seems like he was their favorite all along, right? We had these reports that they contacted him 2 weeks before the season ended, and he was in that first batch. But I like that they interviewed him, obviously were impressed with him, but then took their time.
Yep. It's a game you got to play where they there were a bunch of other teams, but I think, did he get interviewed by Orlando? I think there was Orlando as well. And probably Phoenix. Like a couple of teams interviewed him.
He apparently was offered, I just read, he was offered the Phoenix job and he turned it down.
Oh, don't want to coach Phoenix. I'd be interested to see if he interviewed in Orlando. I don't think he did. Maybe he didn't. But he was a guy legitimately that other franchises wanted, which is something that never happens with the Knicks when they hire a coach.
And I think it says something that he turned down a Phoenix in terms of, if you talk about has Perry specifically, because Mills has been around for a while, obviously, but has Perry been at all able to like rehab the Knicks, image? And obviously Dolan is still here, but like Sarver is a low key, you know, if Sarver were in New York, like he'd be Dolan, Phoenix's owner. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they arguably, I mean, I like Kristaps a lot better than Booker. But Booker is like a great talent. They've still got Jackson. They've got a bunch of picks. Like they've got a pretty good basketball situation.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'd say Kristaps is better, but you know he is. He was
right.
I don't want to talk about it.
But my point being, like, yeah. I think it's a potential positive in the Perry column of like transforming the Knicks' image around the league.
Like, yeah, and. You know, Phoenix has got some young pieces, though. They play so bad together. Like, if you're a coach, you're trying to, trying to do that.
But they're all so young. They just have like no one old except for that fat guy who looks like Kid Miro.
They have Tyson Chandler too.
Oh yeah, Tyson Chandler.
I don't know. Every time I watch the Suns play, they seem like a bunch of punks.
That's all Marquise Chris. Chris is like my least favorite player in the league.
Yeah, he tried to throw Kristaps with some judo stuff on some judo bullcrap.
He has like the most outsized ratio of like shit he starts to talent he possesses because he doesn't really have it so far. So, but Fizdale, 4 years. How do you feel about that number anyway?
Oh, whatever. As far as coaching, it doesn't. There's no salary cap, and James Dolan's paying for it. I would rather anyone. You know, he's probably going to donate that money to Trump. So
that's a good point. Every dollar that goes into Fizdale's
pocket, every dollar is someone, not him.
Is one that doesn't get the Trump super PAC. Although I have been told that I got every once in a while when I say something like that people perceive as liberal or perhaps maybe legitimately liberal, I'll get a review on iTunes.
Yep.
And
it happens.
You know, that happens. But recently, my favorite one was like, someone gave me 4 stars, and they were like, he is, like, brings good information, like, clearly passionate, but he's a typical, like, hypocritical liberal, blah, 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 four stars. And I was like,
nice.
I was like, I respect you, dude. Like,
yeah.
You hate my guts. Listen, I will say this. Obviously, I think I'm right, but I get if I annoy you if you don't believe with my political opinions. So I will respect that, you know, but I'm gonna
be
me.
4 stars,
yeah. Yeah, 4 stars. I was like, shouts to you, dude. But yeah, so Fizdale, 4 years. Who cares about the money? His one major concern for me was his relationship with Gasol, although that seems like a very strange Nixie situation with ownership and...
Yeah.
And him not being on the same page. Like, even though, like, they told him to make Gasol play a certain way, and then Gasol hated the way he had to play. And, or they were at least on board. Like, they brought him in specifically to, like, alter the way they play as a team.
Yeah. And Gasol was, I thought Gasol was playing better than the first year.
Yeah. He had his best, in many, like, you know, statistical measures, he had his best offensive season. Under Fizdale. So, and we.
That's one of the things is it's gotta, you know, you gotta do what's right and you gotta help the players to buy in, but not everyone's gonna buy in. But,
yes. The most damning thing I heard there, Matt Miranda actually uncovered this, although, I mean, it came from someone else's reporting, but shouts to Miranda for digging it up for Knicks fans, was that, on a great piece on, Fizdale on Posting and Toasting that appeared, I think, this past week.
Yep.
He, like, there was something about how Fizdale was kind of talking about Gasol a little bit behind his back, about, like, things he needed to do, like, basketball-wise, you know, not, like, he smells bad and I hate his mom, you know, and that kind of shit. And then it got back to Gasol, and then he did wind up saying it actually, like, in front of everyone, but then Gasol had already heard it and he was kind of pissed. And which is like, which I can understand. I'm like, oh, that's not great. But then when you read his comments afterwards, he doesn't specifically refer to that, but he says, I made some mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, like, coaches messing up is less problematic than, because everyone is going to mess up. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, that's life, anything that you do. And the people who are really good are the ones who almost look forward to failure, like, honestly, who, like, barely mind it because they know it's a learning opportunity. And that's a huge cliche, but it's one because it's true. I mean, so.
Yeah. I don't know enough about Fizdale's personality, but it seems like based on everything that he did after he got fired, that he was really contrite and he realized that he had made mistakes. Yeah. That was one of the things that interested me about Mark Jackson, because, like, when you hear Mark Jackson talk about himself or about basketball, like, he doesn't seem like a guy who would ever admit he made mistakes. And if he did, he would be lying, that he believed that he made mistakes. So, like, that's – I can't imagine – that's why I would have loved to have been in the interview for Mark Jackson. You know, oh, Mark, did you do any, say, you know, there were some problems there in Golden State. What problems? There weren't any problems.
I mean,
down, man, down.
I could. Down, man, down. You know, like, people say our day and age, it's like everything goes documented. Like, people need to put that. But there are so many things that we'll never, like, hear or see that kill me. Like, I want to be in draft rooms. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be in. I would love to have seen what Phil Jackson was saying right before they drafted Chris Stapps. Like, was he awake? You know, these kind of things. Like, we'll never know. We'll never know. That interview, like, I would kill. How much would you pay? I'm going to put this out here right now. I will give $1,000 if someone can give me exclusively.
Well, you have a legit job.
An audio recording of the entire interview with Mark Jackson. It's got to be the whole thing.
Yeah, you have a legitimate job. I don't have that kind of money.
I don't either, but I'll find it. I'll, like, do a GoFundMe if someone actually steps forward. I am offering $1,000 bounty for an illegally recorded full audio recording of the Mark Jackson interview.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you are going on Posting and Toasting, I'll probably put it up again later that Matt Miranda did a great article, very in-depth, about Fizdale. And there are some concerns. I don't know if I think Miranda believes, I don't want to quote him, but Miranda believes that Fizdale might be better for a more veteran team. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that, because some of the Grizzlies' younger players did, or not even younger players, like kind of younger D League, G League kind of folks were really turning themselves around and were doing some good stuff. So I don't, it's interesting because it says in the article about him, about the Fizdale hiring, that he's going to Latvia. He's going to Latvia, Fizdale.
Yes.
To meet with Porzingis.
Yes.
Big. I feel bad. I wouldn't want to hang out with Porzingis if I was married, because
thirstiest superstar in the league. I mean, he's at it again. If you guys haven't seen this, he's in Madrid and he's Instagram storying just like text over, you know, a colored background. It's like, looking for a couple friends, like smiley face.
Yeah.
Man, is he is a cornball. I love him. He's the future of our franchise. But
yep,
he is. Well,
yeah, he works hard. He plays hard. That's all I
care. You know. But yeah, I mean, that's, if the Knicks are going to do anything, I mean, it's got to be through KP. So for him to prioritize that immediately, and for the Knicks as an organization to understand that they should put this out like in the press, you know, immediately. Yeah. Like, obviously, they felt it was important that people know this. That I think that's a good sign. I like that they also leaked that someone leaked. I mean, this, I feel like it was them, but who knows, that they were asking all the candidates what they would do with our boy Frankie.
Yeah. Okay. I hope, I mean, part of me, no, all of me hopes that he also stops by France and visits Frank. This, you have to say, like, one reason you would want to coach the Knicks, like, okay, I'm just going to spend my summer in Europe just meeting various young Knicks.
That's such a good take. That's instantly, that's the take of the sode right there.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to, like, Chicago or someplace, but, you know, our star player is in Chicago in the summer. You know, who cares? my star player's there. They're in Europe, and so we're going to go. First, we're going to go to Latvia, and then later on we're going to go to Paris, maybe down the French Riviera, and talk some basketball and
visit some, you know, what's Alexei Shved doing? See what he's up to.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, actually, Kristaps is in Madrid now, so, you know, why not just stop by Madrid while you're there and hang out with Kristaps for a while.
Go see, you know, Gallinari's relatives, you know, in Italy. It's important to know the roots of the franchise.
You know. that's a nice little holiday there.
but I think that it's telling on a couple of levels that this Frank question was put out there, because, first of all, I do think he's hugely important to the Knicks' future. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue against that, but I think a lot of people
anyone who argues against that.
Huh?
I'll fight anyone who argues against
it. Well, I think he's obviously, like, it's indisputable that it's hugely important to get the most out of him, but I think a lot of people are already kind of moved on as him being a good prospect, which I think is insane. I mean,
those people.
He's 19 until August, but not only that, like, he has a very interesting set of skills. He's got one skill which is clearly, like, elite basically already in his perimeter defense. But it's, like, a good coach. This, like, he's a unique combination of, like, what his body is and what his skills are. And so it presents a unique challenge, but one that if you find the right coach, he can really kind of, like, flex his cleverness and his, you know, like, thinking outside of the box kind of, you know, bona fides, to pronounce it as annoyingly as possible. So I'm very happy that that came out. And, you know, the thing about just to one more time return to them interviewing so many people, even if they knew Fizdale was their hire, like, from the start, kind of, it's a great way to gather information to interview all these people. You get these people in from Golden State, from, you know, from Boston, like, see what they think about things, like, see how they approach the game. Like, they're going to get some of their organizational philosophy just from, like, talking to these guys. So I think that's really good. And on a personal note, just perfect timing for me because I actually fly to New Orleans for the weekend tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So this news dropped just in time.
Good job, Knicks.
Good job. That's, you know, in closing, good job, Knicks. Will he be the right hire? You know, only time will tell.
Who cares?
But...
Who cares?
But it's not Mark Jackson. We're going to talk about the possibility of a Kawhi Leonard trade in just a moment. But first, I just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network in the entire world. Okay, so Kawhi Leonard, he is at a crossroads of sorts in San Antonio. There was just that 4 billion word long article written about it on ESPN. It was good, but they inflated it a little bit. I was like, you're like a high school senior trying to inflate the word count here to like get it up. They're like, now it's April 2018. Now it's April 14th. It's April 14th. Like they kept like resetting the scene with three paragraphs of context. But there was a lot of good information in it. It was just, it's a weird situation over there. It's a weird vibe. It's by no means like a done deal that he wants out or anything like that. But it's rocky for the first time in their relationship, you know, of Kawhi and the Spurs.
Any Spurs relationship. Basically.
Any Spurs relationship. So there is talk about him possibly being traded, and people have talked about him being traded to the Knicks. So I just want to talk to you, Joe, about like your thoughts on that, whether or not you think that's a good idea, and then we can get into why or why not.
Oh, no, I don't think it's a good – I mean, I don't even know if they could do it once the – I mean, they could do it if they completely decimated their roster and future.
Yes.
So what's the point?
Well, I completely agree with you, but not everyone does, and there's a large contingent of people who like are like pushing for it. I don't know if I'd call it a majority, but there's enough out there that I thought it would be interesting to kind of like get into like why this is crazy. So I agree with you. Well, not crazy. Why I don't think it's the right move. And for me, it boils down to the most important thing. I've got a couple reasons, but like a number one, top of the heap. New, just to quote Frank Sinatra over and over again for some reason.
Again.
That's once was a record. So twice I'm smashing that record. But the Knicks do not have a big enough pool of assets to start subtracting them.
Yeah.
I mean,
and a lot of contending teams do.
That's the other thing. This is not in a vacuum. Like, in order to get Kawhi, you're giving up at least one more thing than you're getting back. And in reality, it's going to be many more things. But, like, you're at least giving up, like, a KP plus a first-round draft pick. Although, if you gave up KP, what is the point? Because you're stuck, again, with no one around him, you know. But even if it's not KP, like, you're giving up at least two first-round draft picks. Like, possibly a Frank. It's that kind of vibe. And when you look at, like you said, who you're competing with, just in the East, which is still a little bit weaker than the West, I would say, with Philly and Boston, like, it's not going to cut it. They're too deep.
Yeah.
They're way too deep for the Knicks to start pushing in chips and taking pieces off the table, even if you bring in a Kawhi Leonard, who is fantastic. Like, you know, of course he is. He's one of the best players in the league. But even beyond that, from where I'm standing or sitting, I'm actually sitting right now, if you can believe that, there's going to be another Kawhi. Like, I think. Or maybe Kawhi himself in a year or two. Like, as big a fan of Kawhi as you may be, and he is a unique talent, like, with the current climate, in my opinion, like, you see these great players almost every year now, they're shuffling around. Like, it's kind of the new norm. I don't think if you pass on Kawhi now that, you know, you might, like, love Kawhi and be like, well, I think he's way better than anyone else who will be available. But there'll be someone else who's, like, a fantastic upper-tier all-star who makes your team better, who wants to move. Like, and so for me, with that being said, and like with the way Philly and Boston are, you got to wait till you have much more talent before you make a move for someone like Kawhi. And I just think, I mean, I think it speeds up the rebuild also. I mean, because, like, he is a little bit older. He's going to be 27 this season. So you're making, like, even more win-now moves, you know, that, like, have to come down the pike because you want to, obviously, you want to maximize Kawhi's time with the Knicks. And he's another guy with an injury concern. I mean, are you concerned with his injury at all?
Not so much.
Nah.
Oh, actually, I don't know, because was it his knee or?
It's his. Okay, so the thing is, it's here's the quote from that ESPN piece. According to multiple sources, Leonard's camp has come to believe the issue has more to do with an ossification or hardening in the area where the thigh muscle, his quadriceps, has been repeatedly bruised, and then an atrophy, which in turn affected the tendons connecting the muscle to the knee. So they think it's like a muscle thing that has affected the tendons. The Spurs have always called the injury quadriceps tendinopathy, which is a disease of the tendon that has a degenerative effect on the muscle by keeping it in a constant state of exhaustion. So it's like you're like flexing your muscle. Oh. Doesn't that sound incredibly painful?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a knee, it's not an Achilles, but it is a weird injury to me. And I don't like weird things that, like, the best doctors in the world disagree about.
Yeah, that's a little, that's a bit much. I don't know about the injury so much. I mean, I would worry about the injury if he came to the Knicks, and then his quadriceps would disintegrate. So.
It's, I mean, I'm just saying it's like, it's, so the top of the thing, that like the first level reason why we don't do this, in my opinion, is, you know, you don't have enough talent to start subtracting pieces yet. I think secondarily, you don't do this unless you're keeping KP. And then if you do keep KP in it and you get rid of everything else, you've got two guys who at least have like decent injury concerns. Obviously, KP's is worse than Kawhi.
Yeah.
But the third thing is also his contract. Kawhi is eligible for a Supermax extension this summer because he's been on two all-NBA teams in a row, or two of the past three seasons. So that gives him a Supermax. Do you know what that number is, Joe, off the top of your head?
I haven't.
But yeah, so it's
I know it's 35% of the cap.
Yes.
Something like that.
It's $219 million over 5 years, which works out to $43.8 million a year.
Hey, that's a lot of money.
And if anyone's worth that, a healthy Kawhi is. But with this just kind of like doubles down on that, you know, if you're going to be depleting from this talent pool that the Knicks do not have, then you're also not going to be able to sign free agents because you're going to have so much cap tied up.
Yeah.
So.
And also, this is not an X's and O's thing, but it seems like Kawhi doesn't have his own banana boat crew like LeBron did, where people might be just like his buddies might be taking less money to come play with him. I mean, I don't know anything about Kawhi's personality, but I know he's not like he doesn't have like a group of quality basketball playing guys who he hangs around with all the time.
Right.
And that's one of the good things about LeBron. He always had that. That's what ended up happening with the Heat. I mean, so.
No, for sure. You don't want LaMarcus Aldridge coming over in a package deal?
He would cost almost as much money. So Spurs have done good things with him, but you know, I'm not a LaMarcus Aldridge guy.
So there you have it. I mean, David Fizdale, good hire. Kawhi Leonard, great player, bad for the Knicks right now.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one more thing about Fizdale is that, and Frank, because I think that when you try to come up with, like, if Frank can be a point guard, a good, like, a best case scenario for him might, in fact, be Mike Conley.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Conley, because he's not, he's a point guard who's pretty big, but not, like, burning with quickness. More methodical point guard, so it's good that Conley had, I think, his best season under Fizdale or close to it. Mm-hmm. So that's another plus for him in my book is that you know he's worked with guys who are kind of similar, a little bit similar to Frank in their profile.
For sure. And I 100% concur. That's a Catch Me If You Can reference, I think. Mm-hmm. I should have concurred. Anyway, yeah. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. Where can the people find you online?
At China Joe Flynn, all one word, on Twitter. And postingandtoasting.com on the internets. So, yeah, we will be posting some Primo Fizdale tent content.
That's true.
Yeah, I like, come on down.
That tent abbreviation. I'm going to borrow that from you. Is that all right?
Primo tent.
Primo tent. Oh, yeah. Yeah, instant sewed. I had a couple people ask me, like, you know, are you going to do an emergency pod? And I'm like, God damn it, we do an emergency pod every night. This is Locked On Knicks. This is what we do. This is daily. Pardon my Italian before. I'm sorry for the GD. I know some of you were religious. I got a little, you know, we all make mistakes. That's all I'm saying. Whew, exciting time to be a Knicks fan. You guys should be happy about the direction of the franchise going forward. Was this the best hire? That's almost impossible to say. But it was a good hire. Fizdale is a good coach with a chance to be great. And I'm excited about what the future holds for this franchise. Okay, that's it for today's show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the pod if you have not already. Tell your friends about the pod if you have not already. Tell everyone. Tell your enemies, to quote Tupac. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnKnicks or NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water and take that for data. Tune in tomorrow, guys, for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!